And here in Petersburg, I'm Joe Vicnicki. This is PMC Live. It's a once a month show we do here at the radio station with people from Petersburg Medical Center. Joined today by Phil Hofstetter, the CEO, and Chief Information Officer Jill Dormer. Welcome to you both.
Thank you.
Today is the 2nd of December, Thursday. It's pretty snowy out there. Just another reminder. Take it slow and be careful when you're getting around town, whether you're driving and walking, and there's lots of snow piling up. So we have lots to talk about today because there's a new electronic health record system that is already going in. Jill, what's the status on this one?
Yeah, we are really excited. We're getting very close to our activation date, which is Monday, December 6th. Our whole team has been working on this project since last January. So it's been a lot of months that we've been building and, you know, talking through how to utilize the system to best take care of patients here in Petersburg. Cerner, which is the electronic health record company that we've vendored with, they're one of like the top two EHR companies in the nation. And so we feel very fortunate and also excited that we're able to bring that in and help to just really level up our infrastructure for technology in the building.
That replaces the existing system, which you've had, what, 5 or 10 years now?
About 8 years.
Eight years, okay. What are the improvements? What's the advantages of going with the new system?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. We are looking at, all clinical and financial departments. So within our current system, there's a lot of limitations to integration, the way that, you know, maybe lab communicates with home health or clinic talks to finance downstairs, a lot of reporting capabilities. We were just limited in the ways that we wanted to grow. So as we started looking at increasing our infrastructure and efficiencies, we selected this vendor who has, you know, has come very highly recommended. There are quite a few other small hospitals in Alaska using Cerner as well as, you know, in the nation. And so we're looking at better reporting capability, a better financial infrastructure, the interface capability. So the way that we talk to state lab, reference labs like Quest or Northwest Pathology, that capability for communication is a lot stronger. The integration that we have within the system once we go live with Cerner and the way that our departments will be able to communicate back and forth, it's just a lot more efficient. We have a lot of paper right now where, you know, physicians have to sign something and then it goes to department and back up, and then all of that will be done pretty efficiently, streamlined within the EMR.
Yeah, so most people are familiar going to the doctor and the very old system of the chart on the clipboard that goes up in your waiting room while you're waiting for the doctor. So
yeah.
Is that totally going away eventually?
Yeah, no, your physio, what you would expect in your, you know, your next visit when we're on Monday and we're live with Cerner, physicians will have laptops, and so will the MAs. They'll be in the room taking your vitals like normal. They'll be charting things in the computer. They'll carry those same documentation stations with them throughout the facility and maybe around on an inpatient, walk back down to the clinic. It's exciting. Well, you know, there's a little learning curve there for some of us, but it'll be good. Yeah. Another really exciting thing, and I think, you know, for me, anytime we're able to communicate really well with patients at home, that's valuable. And it's really kind of becoming what the norm would be or what, you know, patients are asking for. So our patient portal that's available through Cerner is much better than what we're able to offer right now.
Okay.
And patients will be able to look at their medical records, communicate with their physician, request an appointment.
Check out their bill, outstanding balance,
exactly.
And that kind of thing.
Pay your bill online. Yeah, there's a lot more capability of just interacting with the hospital and our staff through the portal.
Okay. This has been probably a multi-year process to go through and put this new system into place, right?
We started contracting last November, December.
Yeah.
And, you know, Phil was clearly really involved in that also.
Phil, did you get the ball rolling on looking at a new system?
Or? Yeah, so it was sort of an opportunity. One of the things that came out of our CARES Act funding was the opportunity for improve our electronic health record and telehealth. So the communication aspect of that is one of the major components and gaps within the COVID response that we saw. And it, as everything, you know, anytime that we talk about COVID, it takes a big old spotlight on your gaps in your organization. An electronic health record, communication, telehealth, the finance portion, you know, all this sort of fragmented system, which is pretty good, but it's, you know, having a newer system, a newer opportunity to have a fully integrated system, you know, we focused and had the opportunity to be able to do that. Cerner is, as Jill was mentioning, you know, number one and number two in the nation, and globally, there's impact as well. A lot of the major government agencies, you know, any health service, you know, VA, Department of Defense, you know, Cerner is the major component of those organizations. So they have a large role. They're able to scale things and do things more on a higher tech level. I mean, no electronic health record is perfect. There's a lot of workflow, a lot of complexities, and Jill can speak to that on a firsthand basis. And so the idea is that this is an opportunity. Cerner is actually is taking smaller hospitals and not just focusing on bigger ones, and has a product that is more economical, and they're able to capture all the modules within that component and have a unique model. It's called Community Works. It's a portion of Cerner where they're able to work with other hospitals on our multi-tenant domain. You know, it operates the same as our own electronic health record, but it's shared amongst scaled amongst many different hospitals. But the ability to there's some pros and cons to that. One of them is that we're kind of fixed on our customizations, but at the same time, we're able to benefit with having all the modules and technology and tools that are available. So it's pretty interesting. Timing was amazing. And, you know, why not when we're doing COVID? Right?
I'll say, who doesn't want to, you know, install a new HR in the middle of COVID?
You know, sure. So, I mean, you ended up having to, would you buy all new hardware and machines to host this, plus all the software and everything? So, I mean, what goes into this kind of thing?
Some of our current equipment was compatible, which was great. You know, that, you know, always helps your budget. We have invested in iPads for documentation stations and new scanners. And, you know, there's, when you come into the clinic now, there's either paper process for registration, or there is, we have little, very old digital signature pads. You can't really see what you're signing on those because the screens are so small. And so we'll be utilizing iPads for registration, which will be great, I think, for patients. It's, you know, it's some device most people are familiar with, and they will be able to read the document, you know, e-sign, and then off you go. So there's no paper. But the... I mean, hardware was, we did have to purchase some things, but, you know, nothing really significant.
Okay. Will there be a little bit more time for the first patient visit after December 6th to get into the system, or how is that going to look?
Yeah, no, that's a good question as well. We're lengthening the time of the patient appointments that first week, just to help all of our, you know, physicians and other staff, support staff, getting oriented, making sure that they feel really supported, learning that first week. We would ask that any patients coming in just be patient with us as we're learning, and then really communicate with your providers if, you know, they have any concerns during their appointments. The second week we'll speed back up. Okay. And, you know, you would see kind of more normal pace in the clinic. And I don't know if there's anything I missed there, but.
No, I mean, the main focus for the community is to have some patients with us as we're going live with the system. Ultimately, the patient care experience with this is going to take us to the next level, mm-hmm. without question, with the patient portal opportunity, the telehealth capabilities, and the connectivity and interface ability between other facilities. So, mm-hmm. But going live is, we may joke about it a little bit, but at the same time, it's very risky, and it's also very intensive. And so having a little extra time to make sure that we're able to take care and enter the information correctly, and our staff are able to take the time to learn the system appropriately, and there's usually a little bit of a learning curve on that. I don't anticipate major, you know, delays or issues, but we do want to have more time, you know, scheduled, and making sure our appointments are spread out a little bit is very key to making it successful.
You mentioned interfacing with other facilities. Will this improve or make it easier to get my records to Seattle or a provider up in Anchorage or something like that?
Absolutely. Right. So Cerner utilizes what's called Commonwell, and most hospitals have a membership to Commonwell, and so it integrates from within it, as well as the telehealth the telehealth module and the referrals module that we've purchased, those will help very efficiently get your records down to specialists. You know, if you want to send them out through, you know, radiology, like that's a very efficient process through the clinic as well, and internally. So again, like I was saying, we have some paper processes between, let's say, like physical therapy and our own clinic doctor. Those processes also, you just push it directly through and they can see it in real time, which is really exciting for us. It's going to help speed up some of our processes.
A related question from John Haverlick, who called in, and he wants to know, along these lines, can other hospitals have access to the new patient portal? And he means, should patients be giving other doctors elsewhere their sign-in, login information to get them the information they need?
Yep. So generally for any logins you have, especially that where you have your personal records, you wouldn't want to give your username and password out to, you know, anyone that you wouldn't want to have long-term access to. So other facilities, generally what you can do is there's an export area within the patient portal, and you can send those electronic records. You can just select what you want to send and push it out. Or you can, you know, call PMC, ask for the referrals department or medical records department, and they can do that for you. They can push those down.
Okay, but they don't need access to your entire patient portal area.
Yeah, I wouldn't give my password out if it was me.
Is that going to look a lot differently online for the patient portal, or is it going to look relatively the same, or what?
The access aerials will be the same. You'll be able to go onto our website, find your link, as well as when you have your first appointment, you'll receive an emailed link for the patient portal. You'll, you know, be able to get into it, set your password up. We have an IT department that you can call for assistance if you need it. And once you're in there, one of the things that is better, our current patient portal, anytime you, like once you set it up, and then let's say I go back to the doctor 2 weeks later, there's not a prompt to let you know that you have new information. In our new portal, there will be. So anytime there's new information, it'll prompt you, you know, with a message to go in and look.
So everyone has to redo their patient portal through this new system. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
And
that's
then,
a good heads up to know.
Yeah.
Your old password and such won't work. Okay.
Right. And then to access your old records, those will still be in your current patient portal that we've, you know, that we have established with you. So you'll have those in two places. One of the things I've been, you know, talking to Phil about is if you have an iPhone, Apple has something called Apple Health, and you can actually merge your patient portals in that application. And so for people who want to make sure and have that all in one area, we've talked about our IT team helping people onboard with that so that they can get it all in one space and not have to have two logins.
Okay, which leads me to the question on security and the secureness of your information. How is this system for keeping all this information from the hands of people you don't want it to be in the hands of?
I can answer that. I mean, one of the big motivations, I mean, again, security came to our forefront earlier this year, and that's something that was very, very high on the priority list of why we were very motivated to pursue an alternative solution. This is absolutely something that'll take us to that level of security and compliance that the other system, you know, I just couldn't do. And so this is very directly related to security.
Okay. All right. What else should people know about this new system?
I think, you know, if I was a patient and I had never worked in a hospital environment before, I would, you know, want to make sure that I had easy access to my records when I needed them, which you'll be able to check your meds and your physician documentation and your lab results all within your portal. You'll want to make sure that if you have any questions and you don't want to, you know, if it's cumbersome to call the clinic, you can put those messages straight through the portal. And then for our own staff, just to, I think for the community to know, we're putting investment into this, both time and money. And our staff are excited about it. Like, the, you know, as they've been getting in and building it, and now that it's live, and in this last 2 weeks, we've been getting in the live environment and starting to build out patient charts and really train and use it. Our physicians are excited. I had one of them tell me he was in love with it. So just that it's going to be a good quality of life, you know, system for our own staff as well.
Okay. Ballpark cost of implementing a new system, Phil?
Yeah, we met last year. It was, you know, we were able to, you know, prepay with some of that funding and implementation costs, a little bit over $1 million.
Okay. So some of that was COVID funding?
That's CARES Act funding. So we couldn't use, you know, there was funding allocated, but it came with very strict rules and regulation, and you had to spend it down by the end of December. And so we requested special, or at least requested within the parameters to be able to utilize the funding for that. And we were able to upgrade our technology as part of the part of those regulations. So we're able to use that. We actually had a special meeting, a board meeting. I don't know, you know, it seems like a decade ago, but almost around Christmas time, where we had to go and we were in contract negotiations, and we did approve the contract. On the record, and you know, but it was a very aggressive timeline. I didn't think we could pull it off, and we did. And it's normally those contract negotiations take a long time, but Jill's really very proficient at that. She's been able to implement electronic health record before here, has learned a lot. I mean, the skill level with the team here and the motivation of all of our physicians and nursing staff is really what drove this. This wasn't something that I wanted to do this, of course, but it's not something that I said, hey, we need to do this. This is something that we have an opportunity to do this. Is this something we should do? And the resounding answer was yes, and we can do this. And, you know, Jill's expertise in doing the implementation previously, those are things you learn by experience and are very, very hard to come by. And so the ability to really pull that together in a less than year time frame is during COVID, I have to say, is something that's pretty impressive in my opinion. So ultimately, at the end of the day, it results in improved patient care. It takes us to a level of technology and efficiency that we can build off of a new unit that we'll be able to do, and sets us in a very good path as far as ability to take high-tech technology and look in the future for healthcare and what we can do. We can't do that if we don't have good core infrastructure, and this is the ability to build our infrastructure. You know, it's not just all about a new facility. It's about, you know, some of these other components that are really outdated.
Okay. Is it a one-time change, or are you rolling out different parts gradually over time, or will we see other changes next year, or what?
We are all in on Monday.
All in. Okay. Yeah. Gotcha.
Yeah.
All right. And is there other places where people can find out more information? Is there any information on the medical center's website, or is there someone people could call if they have questions about signing in again, that kind of thing?
Yeah. So we'll have advertisements on Facebook and Instagram, and then our public website. There's a little snip in the paper this week. If someone has concerns, feel free to call the IT department, and you know, we're happy to answer any questions about the new portal or you know, anything else that they may be curious about.
Okay, so to enter in the new portal, you can do that anytime after December 6th under the new system and reset your password and that kind of thing, right?
You'll receive an invitation at your first visit.
Oh, okay. All right. So no need to do that beforehand just to be ready or anything like that? Okay. Yeah. All right. Phil, anything else we missed on this new system?
No, I think you covered it. I'm excited for this, and I thank the community ahead of time for their patience as we get live with this. But this is certainly going to result in improved patient experience and patient care. So we're excited.
Well, we got you here. Can you give a brief update on the COVID situation and what PMC is seeing lately?
Yeah, sure. So November was was obviously the biggest month of COVID. We had over 230 community members with COVID in the month of November, at least. That's not counting the school school positive or antigen positives at home. Of those, we had increased severity in our ER in inpatient. We had over 10 in our inpatient, I believe. Increased of our severity over time, you know, so the last maybe 2 weeks we saw an increase, and we're still seeing some results of that as well. So while we're recovering, we want to make sure we're exercising caution, that we're really on the plateau. What happened in August and September, where we had that spike, it came down. I thought we were, you know, we're on the clear, and all of a sudden we had this tremendous peak here. So It's very taxing. We are hopefully in this recovery mode where it's going to continue to go down. We have 27 active cases currently, I believe, at last count. And we hope that coming into the holidays, everyone is able to follow the mitigation, get vaccinated. And there's a lot to look forward to with some of that.
Supplies holding up okay?
Yeah, you know, we did. We had to reach out to, both Bartlett and Search reached out to us, asked if they needed anything, and we were able to procure some PCR Cepheid cartridges from them, which is very hard to come by. So we want to really thank both Search and Bartlett for that. The state of Alaska has been amazing as well. They provided all the home kit antigen tests that we requested. And we did something a little unique. We just flooded the community. We're trying to flood the community with home antigen tests and empower the people to take their own tests and see what, get more of a real-time response if we can.
Okay. And I think the last time I talked to you, there was something like 23 monoclonal antibody treatments, and that was just the middle of November. Do you know what the month total was for that kind of treatment?
Yeah, I believe it's 30, 31. Okay. So quite a bit. Again, everything is sort of ticked up a notch with this outbreak. Certainly seeing an improve. When you get to the monoclonal antibodies, it's certainly, if you get it within the time frame and in the rapid response, our nursing staff and physicians do feel like it's making a big difference on improvement.
Okay. All right. Anything else on that topic or the record system that we missed talking about?
I don't think so.
No. You did a good job asking all the things that I was going to talk about. So
thank you both for coming in today. You've been listening to PMC Live. Up next is Street Beat Music. Lars Christensen, your host.